Opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we are back from our week off in celebration of Thanksgiving. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. And I almost recognize your voice.
Almost, eh? Okay.
All right. You'll be better tomorrow.
How
many days do you have the voice?
This is actually the first day, but it was Thanksgiving that I finally succumbed to something that had been circulating around my family.
I wanted to start off today talking about vitamin C. It's back in the news, as it should be, despite the fact that I think that mainstream medicine still disputes so much of the evidence showing the benefits of vitamin C. Now, I think vitamin C, of course, was actually discovered, the actual vitamin, in the early 1900s. But it was known hundreds of years before that, that if you ate limes or lemons, you could prevent scurvy. But they didn't know why. They just knew that was beneficial. Of course, that's how they got the term limeys for sailors. Because prior to that discovery, you know, you'd make a cross-Atlantic trip that could take yeah, probably a month or so.
More than that.
More than a month.
Yeah, depending on the season of the year, yeah.
And they would, many of the sailors would die from scurvy. Now, what is scurvy? Is a lack of vitamin C. What happens when you lack vitamin C? Basically, the connective tissue of your body disintegrates and your body falls apart. You start bleeding and you die.
How many people do you think, Dr. Slavin, are actually deficient in vitamin C because we have such access to fruits and vegetables that are high in vitamin C?
Well, here's the you know, this has always been a debate when you talk about levels that are determined to be deficient and levels that are determined to be optimal. The U.S., I don't know who sets the standards or something, just says you want to prevent scurvy, take 60 milligrams of vitamin C a day.
And they don't necessarily tell you which vitamin C might actually give you 60 milligrams that your body can metabolize.
Well, so, you know, Linus Pauling did a lot of research. You know, in some people's eyes, he's very qualified. He received two Nobel Prizes, one for peace, but one for biochemistry. And he's written several books about vitamin C. And I think what caught his attention with vitamin C was the fact that every animal makes their own vitamin C, except humans, primates, the fruit-eating bat, and guinea pigs. And he looked at all these animals, and he determined that based on a human's weight, they would make basically about 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. That's what's happening in all these mammals that make their vitamin C. And if they got sick, they would up their production of vitamin C to deal with that illness. And it would go as high as 14,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day.
Wow, that's amazing. 14,000 milligrams. Okay.
So, and I happen to agree, there are a lot of doctors that think the same way I do, as far as when you're not sure what to do, which is really most of the time, imitate nature. Because nature gets it right most of the time.
Most of the time, that's true. Okay, so when you're talking about optimizing vitamin C levels. Do you have a suggestion about specifically how to go about that? You're going to follow the guidelines for the amounts of vitamin C, but do we have a way of understanding how well that vitamin C is actually taken up by the cells?
Well, you know, well, here's the thing. So let's go back again. The initial discovery and connection was between lemons and limes, was citrus fruits and its ability to prevent scurvy. They didn't know what was in the fruit, but they knew that people were dying from scurvy if they were deprived, the vitamin C in the fruit. In the early 1900s, they discovered what was in the fruit that was helping people. But coming down to, well, how do you recommend, how much should you take? Well, Linus Pauling imitated nature. He said, well, probably at least 2,000 milligrams a day. And when you're sick, take even more. But recent studies now have been done because they've seen the connection between vitamin C and many degenerative diseases, because these diseases involve oxidative stress. And it's clear, now there's no debate about this, it's clear that vitamin C can very effectively prevent many of these oxidation processes because it is a very strong antioxidant. So there's no debate about that, although I'm still not sure where mainstream medicine stands. But this is in the literature.
I think mainstream medicine is kind of standing with that 60 milligrams a day. And so that's what you need to prevent scurvy, but certainly not to assure good health.
Well, so let's talk a little bit more about the new studies being done. A large decade-long research study at UCLA found that men who took 800 milligrams of vitamin C per day, which is about 10 times the recommended daily allowance, had less heart disease and lived up to 6 years longer than those following the conventional guideline of 60 milligrams a day.
Very interesting.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, there's a another, let's say, observation that Linus Pauling made, that heart disease is a vitamin C deficiency disease. And if we have time, we'll get into that. The reasons why that is probably true as well. Then there was another study which looked at a little over 11,000 elderly people. And this was published back in 1996. And they found that seniors who took high-potency vitamin C and vitamin E had an overall reduced mortality rate of 42%. Now, isn't that amazing? Now, when we talk about reduced mortality rate, what are old people dying from? They're dying from heart disease, cancer, stroke, probably the primary ones. And this is where the vitamin C and other antioxidants are going to be important. Now, a lot of people are still taking these low-potency, one-a-day multiple vitamins, and they were shown to have absolutely no beneficial effect on mortality. Yet, you look at those commercials on TV. I mean, all the time with these. Now they have the gummy bear multivitamins, and they have the multivitamins in a mint or something. Totally worthless. There's been about 40 studies that have shown that people who eat vitamin C-rich diets have a lower incidence of cancer. So, I don't know. Is the standard American diet rich in vitamin C?
The standard American diet, the SAD diet, absolutely is deficient in a lot of vitamins, deficient in a lot of very critically important nutrients that are not only helpful when it comes to minimizing the potential for developing disease, but also very much associated with enhancing quality of life. And when I'm talking about enhancing quality of life, I'm thinking about muscle strength, brain function, energy level, protecting your vision, protecting your circulatory system. You know, there's just so many aspects of how your body functions that when it's deficient in a variety of different nutrients, then the potential for disease development is very much higher.
I just want to digress for a second. At our office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine, we're able to address these problems of patients because we test for them. How many of your doctors are actually checking your vitamin C levels? You know, I think, I would venture to say probably zero. I don't know, Janet, have you ever seen anyone bring you lab work that had a vitamin C level on it?
Very, very few. The people who bring me vitamin C levels are the people I see from your practice,
right.
Dr. Slavin.
Right. They're not testing for these things. And yet you can see its connection to heart disease and cancer is backed up by the literature. Now, we've mentioned in the past a Dr. Hugh Reardon, who did a lot of research.
One of my heroes. I mean, his research is just so compelling.
Yeah, I remember hearing him speak, and he was telling a personal story about himself because he was checking his own vitamin C levels. And by the way, one of the best ways to check vitamin C levels is with a urine test. If you don't have any vitamin C showing up in the urine, contrary to what mainstream medicine says, you really do want expensive urine, but not expensive because of drugs, expensive because you have appropriate amounts of nutrients. Because if you don't see vitamin C in the urine, that means your body probably doesn't have enough of it because the excess will show up in the urine. So his story was, he was taking a certain amount of vitamin C every day and he would see some show up in the urine. And then he says one day he was bit by a snake. And all of a sudden, the vitamin C disappeared in his urine, meaning the vitamin C was being used up to combat the snake venom. And he had to, I think, increase the dosage almost by 100 times to combat the snake venom before it showed up in the urine again. I mean, that's the potency of vitamin C and the beneficial effects if you take enough of it. And that's usually the problem with all these studies we see for mainstream medicine. Is they say, oh, this vitamin doesn't work or that vitamin doesn't work. They're not using the right dosage. They're not using the quality product. And then they come out and say, well, these don't work.
And they, and very, very often, are choosing a population that would have extremely high requirements for vitamin C. And what I'm talking about is that beta-carotene study with done with smokers and alcoholics. And they said beta-carotene will cause you to die more quickly. And the truth of the matter is it was a very poor form of beta-carotene. And the study population was questionable at best. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on AM 1470 WNN.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And today we're talking about ways to support your immune system.
You know, I'm noticing, Janet, your voice is getting better as the show goes on. It must have been that week off that...
I was watching the news this morning, Dr. Slavin, and one of the topics, and I can't remember what channel it was on, had to do with why do people get sick when they're on vacation. And unfortunately, I didn't get to see that segment, but I'm going to find it on YouTube or I'm going to Google it, because I don't get sick. I have this very, very nice routine that if I'm exposed to someone who may be sick, and I was exposed multiple times over the past 2 weeks, and I thought I'd got it. You know, I was good. I could feel that I was fighting it off, but I was using all of my nutrients, the vitamin A, the vitamin D, Amla C, which is my favorite form of C. Okay, very nice question. Okay, Dr. Slavin is miming spray, and I presume you're meaning silver spray. The thing is, I never had a sore throat. That's when I would have used the silver spray. So I thought I was good. And then on Thursday morning, after I had done all my work, so I was ready for Thanksgiving, done all of the cooking, then it started. And I didn't feel sick, didn't feel badly, so I went through the whole holiday.
Maybe a couple of factors that we should all be aware of coming into the holiday season are the things that weaken your immune system that we're all susceptible to. One is lack of sleep. I think a lot of times people may not be getting enough sleep, or drinking alcohol excessively. Those two things, and sugar excessively, those three things can, by themselves, can undermine your immune system. And they're additive. So, you know, not enough sleep, a little alcohol, more sugar, and you're weakening your immune system. So just things to keep in mind.
Well, one I'm going to add to that list, people traveling from the north that are bringing in, they're coming in coughing, sneezing. And so it was a double whammy. So kids that had brought things home from school, and then people coming from the cooler north. Okay, so I took care of my immune system, and fortunately, I don't feel sick, but I don't sound very well. So
I think that's a major distinction. Someone who wasn't taking care of themselves might have found themselves in bed exposed to the same viruses that you've been exposed to. And by the way, this is a virus. It's not a bacterial infection. Probably at least 90% of the so-called colds, or maybe even more than that, are viruses not responsive to antibiotics, and yet the doctors are going to be handing out antibiotics like it's going out of style. A couple of weeks ago, we mentioned one course of antibiotics can disrupt your microbiome, you know, your gut flora, for a year.
And I should add, that is one of the things that I have been very attentive to, probably taking triple and quadruple the dose of antibiotic that I usually take. So my microbiome is fighting back.
Now, so we were talking about vitamin C and talking about Dr. Reardon, who's done a lot of research on vitamin C, particularly intravenous vitamin C, in the context of cancer patients. And he discovered that most cancer patients are deficient in vitamin C, especially those in advanced stages of cancer. Now, we could probably figure out why that is, because what are they saying? Low vitamin C leads to cancer, or does cancer lead to low vitamin C? And the answer is both. You know, if you have cancer, you're probably using up your stores of vitamin C much more quickly than if you didn't, and probably you're not eating as nutritiously as you should. So in his research, which he conducted studies for over 15 years, he found that when he looked at cell cultures, these are cell cultures of cancer cells, he found that vitamin C was selectively cytotoxic against cancer cells. What does that mean, selectively cytotoxic? Cytotoxic means it kills the cancer cells. But selectively means nothing else.
It was specifically targeting aberrant cancer cells, not healthy cells.
Now, here's the explanation for that. Cancer cells actively take up vitamin C in a way that depleted tissue reserves of C. PET scans are commonly ordered. Well, in other words, oncologists order a PET scan. What does that mean? They give you radioactive sugar, and the cancer cells, which use up a lot of sugar, pick up the radioactive sugar, and you can see where the metastasis is. Well, vitamin C, molecularly speaking, is very similar to sugar, so it's picked up by the cancer cells. So why is that important? Well, if you give someone with cancer vitamin C, and we just said vitamin C is selectively cytotoxic, in other words, kills cancer cells selectively, that's a good thing. So we mentioned the vast majority of animals, they make their own vitamin C, and how do they make it? They make it from glucose in only four metabolic steps. Somewhere along the evolutionary trail, humans lost their ability to do that. We must have traded larger brains for making vitamin C. I'm not sure of the reason. I don't think anybody is.
Yeah, maybe because certain populations had food supplies that tended to be high in vitamin C, and consequently that ability to produce vitamin C was turned off.
Right, I think that was the explanation, that they figured humans were smart enough to get the vitamin C in their diet, so they didn't have to make it on their own, whereas probably a lot of animals out there, you know, I guess they're not getting a lot of vitamin C. I'm not sure how much vitamin C is in grass.
I would imagine pretty good amount.
So vitamin C looks like glucose. We know cancer cells like to take up a lot of glucose, so which means they also take up a lot of vitamin C. So cancer cells will actively transport vitamin C into themselves because they can't distinguish the vitamin C from glucose. So anyway, what actually happens is vitamin C accumulates in cancer cells. Now, here's what they found. If you have large amounts of vitamin C, as in an intravenous vitamin C, and in someone who has cancer, large amounts will be absorbed by the cancerous cells. And when you have large concentrations of vitamin C no longer acts as an antioxidant. It starts behaving as a prooxidant as it interacts with the intracellular copper and iron found in the cancer cells. And this interaction produces hydrogen peroxide. Now, cancer cells are relatively low in the antioxidant enzyme called catalase. A high dose of vitamin C, which causes the hydrogen peroxide, will continue to build up until it eventually kills the cancer cell from the inside. So this is why high dose vitamin C, which is a non-toxic chemotherapeutic agent in this context, can be given in conjunction with conventional cancer treatments. In other words, it doesn't compete. You see, conventional cancer treatments work as a prooxidant as well. Vitamin C in high doses work as a prooxidant, not an antioxidant. That's been the reason why oncologists would say, don't take antioxidants with your chemotherapy. Well, vitamin C in high doses doesn't compete with your chemotherapy, and I'm willing to bet that high-dose vitamin C without the chemotherapy works even better.
it's amazing what kind of very, very supportive accurate research is available with regard to intravenous vitamin C. And if you were to ask many people, just random question to people you come across, what do you think of intravenous vitamin C as a treatment against cancer? They'd say, oh, very dangerous. You're missing what you need to be receiving.
There was another study that Linus Pauling did where he had patients with end-stage cancer. In other words, the chemotherapy and all the other treatments were no longer effective, and these patients weren't expected to live. And he gave them high-dose vitamin C intravenously, and they extended their lives for at least 6 months. Remember, this is the end stage, the end of the road, and yet they went another 6 months compared to the control group, which didn't get the vitamin C. Imagine the results he would have gotten if he started earlier on with the high-dose vitamin C.
Dr. Slavin, what do you think of the fact that there's all this information and yet insurances would never cover intravenous vitamin C treatments? And they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, literally millions of dollars, on chemotherapy drugs that do a lot of damage. And here is a non-toxic chemotherapy that, unfortunately, insurance won't pay for.
You're bringing politics into it again.
Oh, dear.
Think about it. The people who are in charge of determining what's covered or not covered by insurance companies, in other words, they work for the government, pretty much, or the insurance company. When I say government, Medicare, or for insurance companies, eventually want, you know, really high-paying jobs later on, maybe working for the drug companies that make the expensive chemotherapy. So they want to keep paying for the chemo. They don't want to not cure people and not need chemo. We see this example over and over again in every aspect. And look at the politicians. You know, they pass laws. You know, what do they say? How many politicians go into Congress poor and come out millionaires? But they become, well, because, you know, they're given lots of inducements by the lobbyists. But the greatest inducement is a lobbying job when they get out of politics.
It just is very interesting to me that politicians get elected to Congress and then they're assigned to different committees. And interestingly, don't necessarily have any education or any
information. Take a stop right there. No education.
Information background on the subject of the committees to which they have been assigned. It's just a very sad state
they're just
of
trained,
affairs.
They're trained how to look good, so nice haircuts, and speak well.
It would be like putting me in the aerospace committee. You know, I don't think I would be able to do an efficient job. That music means you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. When we come back, more information on vitamin C. Stay tuned.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support
all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991.
And welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zimmerelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Dr. Slavin?
Okay, Janet. We were talking about vitamin C and Dr. Reardon, and he was able to prove that vitamin C was selectively toxic to cancer cells when you give high doses intravenously because they work as a pro-oxidant, not an antioxidant. And that work was published by Dr. Mark Levine at the National Institutes of Health. Now, more recently, researchers at the Weill Cornell Medicine or Medical Center in New York published a paper showing that high doses of vitamin C help kill and eliminate colorectal cancer cells when those people have certain genetic mutations. Here's what was published in quotes. They said, since over half of all colorectal cancer cases in humans are linked to specific mutations, the researchers believe that their study findings call for more research into the therapeutic use of vitamin C for colorectal cancer. According to the National Cancer Institute, oh, by the way, just an aside, what is chemotherapy? What is it? One course of chemotherapy, when I say one course, one treatment, one IV bag of chemotherapy cost in comparison to an IV bag of high-dose vitamin C?
I don't have the answer to that.
I'm willing to bet it's in the thousands of dollars for one treatment versus $100 or so for the vitamin C.
I'm going to say, though, you know, I think it's really important to differentiate for our listeners the types of vitamin C. Very often, the vitamin C that's available in very inexpensive vitamin C supplements is derived from corn. And unfortunately, that is genetically modified corn. And so this is where Janna juice comes in, Dr. Slavin. It really does. When you are taking extracts of very exotic fruits, that vitamin C content is going to be much more usable by the body because it's coming from not a highly processed form and not a genetically modified form. So there's a lot of differentiation that needs to be made with regard to where is the best way to get your vitamin C. Is the best way to get your vitamin C intravenously? Is it from a pill? No, indeed. It's from fresh vegetables. Vegetables, vegetables, vegetables. And a lot of times in people's minds when they are thinking about how to best get vitamin C, they're thinking about orange juice. No, indeed, that orange juice is very, very high in sugar. Maybe they're thinking about eating an orange. That would be certainly a better choice, but remember that you need to be using the rind inside the skin of the orange. You may very well do support to your vitamin C status with the outer rind of lemons or limes. Organic lemons or limes is what I would differentiate with. So that there's a lot of very, very important details with regard to this discussion of vitamin C. We have the research. We know what it does.
And according to the National Cancer Institute, there have been other studies that have shown that high-dose vitamin C, and this is vitamin C, again, given intravenously, can help slow the growth of prostate cancer, pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, as well as colon cancer. The Institute also recognizes human studies showing intravenous vitamin C can help improve symptoms associated with cancer and cancer treatments, such as fatigue, nausea, vomiting, pain, and loss of appetite. And despite all of these benefits, the FDA, that's the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, has not approved high-dose intravenous vitamin C for the treatment of cancer or any other disease.
So it's very important for our listeners to understand that the FDA is a very politically and economically motivated government agency. It is not a government agency that has as its top priority protecting the public from problematic treatments. They are very, very much supportive of pharmaceutically focused treatments rather than acknowledging the extensive research with regard to using vitamin C. And vitamin C, let me just say, is one nutrient, one single substance, and there are rooms full of research on a whole wide variety of substances, natural substances without negative side effects that are very, very effective at fighting disease.
The FDA is a perfect example. Those people working for the FDA want that lucrative paying job after they leave the FDA with the pharmaceutical companies. They're not going to go against the drug companies for a natural treatment like vitamin C.
So what do the people have as a choice? Educate themselves and make their own decisions. Now, how difficult is it, Dr. Slavin, when your doctor says you have to do this course of chemotherapy? If you don't, I wash my hands of you. You will die. That, how does a person stand up to that kind of manipulation?
You know, we've talked about that before, that chemotherapy has only been shown to be effective in about 2% of the cases that they use it in, despite the fact that they use it in every case almost. In other words, as an add-on to surgery, the benefit is about 2% when you add on chemo. In other words, 98% of people receive no benefit at all or probably a negative effect from it. Now, you remember Otto Warburg, MD, PhD. Most experts consider him to be the most brilliant biochemist of the 20th century. And he received a Nobel Prize in 1931 for his discovery that virtually every cancer cell does not use oxygen to create energy, but it ferments glucose to provide all its energy. So it needs sugar to sustain itself. That's why they say if you have cancer, cut out the sugar. You don't want to feed the cancer cell. And remember, we said vitamin C resembles glucose. Well, here's the interesting part. The use of glucose may contribute to a relative vitamin C deficiency since it's produced from glucose. In other words, and that may be the explanation how it can help treat cancer. So, in other words, the cancer cells are using up the glucose, they ferment it for its energy, they take in the vitamin C and use that up, and maybe converting that to for energy purposes as well, but at the same time, because of its pro-oxidant effects, it's also killing the cells. I think there's a Nobel Prize waiting to be won here somewhere to really get down to the real reasons, because the Nobel Prize in 1931 is about oxygen and cancer. And, you know, and here you're showing that vitamin C is so important. The best way to address the mitochondrial damage, well, one of the ways anyway, is a ketogenic diet. What is that? That's a diet that shifts burning glucose for energy to burning fat for energy. In other words, you cut out the sugar in your diet, and then it becomes a ketogenic diet. And that's why it's, you know, and we recommend this for everybody, really. Cut back on the carbs. We're eating way too many carbohydrates. And that means limit sugar, grains, and most fruits. So, you know, this is a diet for everybody, not just for sick people. If you want to stay healthy, you know, just stay on that diet.
It's very, very interesting because this also goes on to say studies have found vitamin C may help regulate blood pressure. And you think about how many people in the United States are taking blood pressure lowering medications or multiple blood pressure lowering medications. And in view of that number of pharmaceuticals being used, we have a little bit of a glimpse into the extents of the vitamin C deficiency.
You know, I want to go back to, I think, a point that we skipped over, and that was about how much vitamin C you need to take. Now, we mentioned that the RDA is between 40 and 60 milligrams. Linus Pauling said 1,000 milligrams or even higher. Linus Pauling himself was taking 12,000 milligrams a day.
When I heard him speak, he was talking, he was in his 90s, and he was taking 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day.
He was, because he was suffering from prostate cancer.
Right, and he responded to a question with regard to his prostate cancer. If the vitamin C was so efficient, how come he was diagnosed with prostate cancer? And his reply was he was 91 years old at the time, and that most men are diagnosed with prostate cancer in their 60s. So he had beaten those odds by about 30 years.
I saw him speak too in his 90s. I remember what I remember most about that was as he approached the stage, you had to walk up about four or five steps to get up on a stage, and he like flew up those steps.
Right.
You know, how many 90-year-olds can just, you know, run up the steps?
How many 90-year-olds can speak to a room of 2,000 people for over an hour without notes? He was just brilliant.
So I just want to remind everybody, in the recent studies, they're saying you want to go at least go to 800 milligrams of vitamin C a day. And that's the amount they found allow people to live 6 years longer than those following the conventional guideline of 60 milligrams a day.
Low-potency, one-a-day multivitamins had no beneficial effect on mortality. And why is that a truth? It's because, yes, indeed, there are identifiable ingredients in that low-potency, one-a-day multi. However, the form of calcium is very poor quality. The form of vitamin C is very poor quality and most likely in the range of about 60 milligrams. The vitamin E most likely is DL-alpha-tocopherol, a synthetic version of vitamin E that is usable by your body, maybe 5% of the dose of the vitamin E in that vitamin is usable.
You mentioned the DL, which is a synthetic form. It also is missing the mixed tocopherols that you need.
Right.
So you want to use a full-spectrum vitamin E, and you want it to be a natural form. And you want to, you know, when I met one of the owners of a company that exclusively made vitamin E products, he recommended, I'm trying to remember how he dosed it, but he was, let's put it this way, he was taking 2,400 units of vitamin E a day, to give you an idea of, you know, not, I don't know what they recommend for vitamin E as far as the dosing goes.
40 IUs.
40 IUs.
What is in a one-a-day multi.
And he, you know, lived to old age as well.
Running a company, being very, very up-to-date on research.
But, just a reminder, by the way, vitamin C and vitamin E in high doses reduce mortality in the elderly population by 42%.
Time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. 216-2332 or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about vitamin C.
Now, vitamin C is not just helpful in the context of preventing cancer or treating cancer as an adjunct.
Are you allowed to say that?
Am I allowed to say that? I'm saying that it's used as it's been studied and published. The studies that say it's been beneficial. I'm saying it because you're not allowed to say it. But vitamin C is also, as you mentioned before, helpful to regulate blood pressure, and probably the reason is vitamin C helps dilate blood vessels. But here's the important thing. It's also necessary for the synthesis of collagen. You know, collagen is what's lacking when you get scurvy. Collagen is what holds your body together. If you're lacking collagen, your body falls apart.
Okay, so you think about the people who have arthritis, the people who have all sorts of joint deterioration. Mm-hmm. That lack of collagen is very apparent.
So the collagen helps keep your blood vessels strong and intact. And it was that specific observation by Linus Pauling that caused him to postulate that coronary artery disease is a form of chronic scurvy. In other words, a form of low-dose vitamin C, or low levels of vitamin C, allowing weaknesses of the blood vessels to succumb to micro-trauma from the beating heart, and then the body would protect the traumatized vessels by laying down plaque. How did he know this was accurate? Because when he corrected the deficiencies of vitamin C and he added lysine, he saw a reversal of the whole process, and he documented that. And guess what? The National Institute of Health refused funding of a study to prove that.
Oh, my goodness. The things that we have to educate ourselves about. And unfortunately, the mainstream physicians are not learning about any of this in medical school. And consequently, they come out of medical school with a dysfunctional viewpoint about the value of nutrition, about the value of specific nutrient therapy. And they are guiding their patients in a wrong direction. They're guiding their patients toward the use of pharmaceuticals rather than supporting the function of their cells, the function of all of the different organs and systems of their bodies.
Well, there was a 20-year study in Japan. They found those with the highest serum levels of vitamin C had a 29% lower risk of stroke compared to those with the lowest serum levels. And here's another way of saying that. People who ate vegetables 6 to 7 days a week had a 54% reduced risk of stroke compared to those who only ate vegetables 2 days a week.
Can you believe that there are people who are only eating vegetables twice a week? Is that an astonishing statement?
I think there are people that are only eating, that aren't eating vegetables, period. Well, they call ketchup a vegetable.
All right. That was a government decision.
Well, vitamin C works in two major ways. It acts as a powerful antioxidant. It also acts as a cofactor for enzymatic processes. In addition, vitamin C is a reducing agent. And what that means is it donates electrons to other molecules. And this is why they call it an antioxidant. And here's what Linus Pauling said. Vitamin C is the primary water-soluble non-enzymatic antioxidant. Now, it's funny. He was using that term antioxidant when probably no one even knew about that.
It's very interesting because one of the first continuing education seminars I went to was conducted by professor from UCLA, and I asked him about antioxidants. Now, keep in mind, this is 30 or more years ago, and he said there's no such thing as antioxidants. And so I thought, I have to be really, really careful where I go to get my continuing education credits.
I mean, but yeah, you know, this is back in the 70s probably, and how far we've come in the last 45 years or so. He went on to say even small amounts of vitamin C can protect indispensable molecules in the body, such as proteins, lipids, carbohydrates, DNA and RNA from damage by free radicals that are generated during normal metabolism. In other words, you need vitamin C. It's essential. Without it, you die. Vitamin C also helps regenerate vitamin E from its oxidized form and is involved in the metabolism of cholesterol to bile acids. Imagine if you had more vitamin C, maybe you wouldn't have a cholesterol problem either.
Maybe people wouldn't have the digestive problems that they have if they were more supportive of their vitamin C status.
So what they're saying, if you take enough vitamin C, it'll reduce your cholesterol and probably reduce your risk of developing gallstones. Vitamin C also boosts your body's ability to absorb iron from the foods you eat, and plays a role in detoxification because it helps neutralize and eliminate a range of toxins from your body.
It's very important, I think, at this point to add the importance of alpha-lipoic acid in this entire discussion, because as vitamin C gets used up and a certain amount that has not been properly metabolized becomes or is excreted from the body, alpha-lipoic acid helps to grab both that vitamin C and the vitamin E and recirculate it, re-energize it, so to speak. So when we're talking about vitamin C and vitamin E and how they are synergistic, throw in some alpha-lipoic acid.
Now, Janet, it's, you know, if you're elderly, you may have higher requirements for vitamin C.
Is that addressed just specifically?
Well, I was going to ask you for your definition of elderly.
Okay, my definition of elderly, I think it doesn't necessarily have to do with a number. It has to do with how well an individual has been attending to the quality of their diet, their nutrient status, their overall activities in life, physical movement, as well as social.
Well, all right, I'll rephrase it. As you get older.
Yes.
Everything works differently. There's a decline in function across the board, so that you would require more vitamin C because you probably can't absorb it as well as you could when you were younger. Just because.
Oh, okay, but I'm going to say people who are drinking quality water, using vegetables multiple times a day.
Those are the people that are going to do much better than those who are not doing it.
And so it doesn't necessarily have to do with a number.
Okay, smokers require way more vitamin C because of the increased oxidative stress from the cigarette smoke. But here are some of the signs of vitamin C deficiency. But I have to tell you, you really have a vitamin C deficiency when you're experiencing the following signs. Just do the test to get your levels so you know before you develop these more serious symptoms: dry and splitting hair, nosebleeds, decreased wound healing, bleeding gums, rough, dry, or scaly skin, gingivitis, decreased ability to ward off infection. If you find yourself getting, it's okay for Janet to get sick every now and then, you know, once or twice every 5 or 10 years is okay. But if you find you're getting sick several times a year, that should be a tip off there's an issue, or easy bruising. Now, we talked about vegetables to get your vitamin C, and and fruits, and they're all, you know, most vegetables, except I'm going to say rice and potatoes is off the list, but sweet peppers, chili peppers, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, sweet potatoes, kale, cauliflower, tomatoes. This is what you should be eating on a daily basis. If you go into fruits, papaya, strawberries, but strawberries, you got to get organic. You don't want to, I don't know if you can even find organic strawberries.
Yes.
Yeah, because a lot of
Tunis
them are.
Tunis has them.
Okay, a lot of, but you go to a regular store, you're going to get, it's irradiated.
Right.
And, you know, they look like a strawberry, but they don't taste like it.
Organic tomatoes as well. Very, very important.
And oranges, of course. Kiwi, very high in vitamin C. Grapefruits, cantaloupes. So the idea is, you know, keep the fruits down because that's the source of sugar. But the vegetables, you should go all out on the vegetables because this is where all your nutrients are found.
So instead of serving an entree on a bed of rice or a bed of pasta, think about serving an entree on a bed of very, very nicely seasoned mixed vegetables. It's delicious and it's much better for you than the rice or the pasta.
And just the last point, if you do get a test, you want your vitamin C level to be between 60 and 80 micromoles per liter. That tells you you're getting enough. And you probably can get that at about 200 milligrams at a time, maximum absorption. In other words, don't take 1,000 milligrams at a time.
And keep in mind, AMT Centers, during their special event December 5th, which is coming up next Saturday, they are offering a very, very special price on the vitamin C test. And that music means that we are out of time. And Dr. Slavin and I will be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.